Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
This week, Catherine Connolly was inaugurated as the 10th President of Ireland. So how did her speech stack up with her predecessors? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you consume your podcast. Today, we are going presidential. For the last time for a while, hopefully on Tuesday, Catherine Connolly, she was inaugurated as the 10th Uachtaráin na hÉireann, and she gave her inaugural address in St. Patrick's Hall, where every president so far has been sworn into office. But how have those inaugural speeches evolved over the years? Well, let's go all the way back to 1938 and Douglas Hyde being confirmed as the first Uachtaráin na hÉireann. There is a wide rumour that the shortest ever inauguration speech was the second term of the US President George Washington, but Hyde, he actually beats that by a difference. Washington's was 135 words long, speaking as Gaeilge, Hyde's speech just 74.
Hishi Anore, Kame Don Guyofis, Edson Wukul Jastin, also the lowest of Yamanish, Rudi Jasa Nar Hil Nisha, Ocht, Irem Erigiye, Irem Erigiye, Gros Togus Kuno de Hostum, Gogutame Gok Rud Erei, Hun Lassene Heren, de Kunijay. Agus Irem Erigiye, Kiel, August Krienach the Hostum, August Nath the Hostum, go go lean a me more wolfish, but walked around in the hill.
And translated, that meant, Honourable Taoiseach, I'm most appreciative of the kind and considerate words you spoke to me just now, gracious words which I am undeserving of. But I ask God to provide me with grace and assistance so I can proceed with everything to the benefit of Ireland, hopefully. And I ask of God to provide me with the sense and wisdom to give me the advantage so I can fill my duties as the President of Ireland. Actually translated, he sounds like a pretty normal guy. You know, the whole, oh, please God, now I'll be able to do it. So that was Douglas Hyde, universally chosen and acclaimed as the first President of Ireland. Very short and to the point. And that was kind of a tradition. It was largely kept up by future presidents. The inauguration speech wasn't this big, long thing for many years, even through Éamon de Valera's term. I mean, Dev, he kept it as Gaeilge when he was sworn in at the exact same spot.
The more the Gradam Kajisha, do it an erichin the Vahe or the Borushle Nitire Ilahir. It's more agame. As time unavoidative delayed.
And in 1973, Erskine Childers, well, he lacked the Cúpa Focal, but he did make the speech personal, noting that the inauguration came on the day of his father's birthday. That particularly interesting because Robert Erskine Childers, he was killed by a firing squad by the Irish Free State in 1922, meaning in that what had to be quite an emotional moment, his son had just become the head of the state that executed him. There's something for him to think about on the day. It wasn't really until Carulo Dawley that we saw a speech that we might recognise more today. A politician's speech from a member of the judiciary just 18 months after Erskine Childers had been sworn in himself. Childers passed away while in office, the only president to do so to date. And Carulo Dawley delivered his speech in English, Irish and partially in French. And this final passage, well, it wouldn't be out of place in a Catherine Connolly speech 50 years on, I dare say. And I quote,
"A single personal note, we, my wife and I, are simple people, and we would like to be able to retain some of the simplicity of life in the new office which we are now to fill. May I put in a sentence, if kings may ride bicycles, why then presidents may pedal too? Is there any better way to reduce oil needs and improve national health?"
So there you go. He managed to get climate change into his speech 50 years ago, before it was cool. The original climate warrior, if you like, Carole O'Daly. He was also the first that I can find to talk about having a theme of his presidency. He wanted it to be about community spirit, and he had a line something to the effect of, through my 7 years, please God that I get those 7 years. He very much didn't, and was out of office after a very major row with the government just a couple of years later. He resigned while he was in office, and it was Paddy Hillary who was picked as, again, kind of universal acclaim, sixth president of Ireland. He gave a 4 minute long inauguration speech, and it was very much about bringing together a divided country.
We owe it especially to the young people to give them the firm security of agreed rules and standards of behaviour and respect for the dignity and God-given rights of all. This is a time for courage and conviction, a time which demands the resolute use of that great potential for good which exists in abundance in the Irish people. My hope for Ireland is that we turn away from acrimony, dissension, and disagreement, which are destroying everything that we should value, and join our hearts and minds in united cause for the peace and well-being of all. Go drori dia muid.
That's a theme a lot of presidents have spoken to during their time in office and their inauguration speeches through many eras of the office. And I think Paddy Hillary, probably the last of the old presidents, if you like, the old Irish presidents, when you look at the before and after of the presidency, I think that is the demarcation point between 14 years of Hillary and then 1990. I mean, no more really than Mary Robinson and Manorna Heron that rocked the system instead of rocking the cradle. That wasn't actually her inauguration speech. That was her acceptance speech. I think I had thought it was the inauguration speech, maybe misremembering that from reports down through the years. And it's in 1990 where we really see another theme sparked, engagement with a new Ireland. And pretty much every president since has talked about a new Ireland and the new version of Ireland that will be there, but also the diaspora around the world, really engaging with the fact that, yeah, maybe, you know, for the first 30, 40 years of the state, there was an idea of, aren't we great and we're Ireland and we're independent and we're fiercely protective of that was obviously born out of the brutal fighting that had to go on after over many years to get a free state. And then I think we started to transition towards, yeah, we're Ireland and we're great as an island, but we have all these people that have had to go abroad for various different reasons over the years, and actually they are worth recognising and acknowledging too. And in Mary Robinson's speech, I mean, she said, the West is awake, but it may also be the moment the presidency came awake too.
This, I believe, is a significant signal of change, a sign, however modest, that we have already passed the threshold to a new pluralist Ireland. The recent revival of the old concept of the fifth province expresses this emerging Ireland of tolerance and empathy. The old Irish term for province is chiocid, meaning a fifth. And yet, as everyone knows, there are only four geographical provinces on this island. So where is the fifth? The fifth province is not anywhere here or there, north or south, east or west. It is a place within each one of us, that place that is open to the other, that swinging door which allows us to venture out and others to venture in. Ancient legends divided Ireland into four quarters and a middle, although they differed about the location of this middle or fifth province. While Tara was the political centre of Ireland, tradition has it that this fifth province acted as a second centre, a necessary balance. If I am to be a symbol of anything, I would like to be a symbol of this reconciling and healing fifth province.
7 years later, and Mary McAleese picked up many of the batons started by Robinson, including the work with the diaspora. But she was also very pointedly a president aiming for peace and reconciliation in Northern Ireland. And the camera jumps multiple times to John Hume throughout the inauguration, with future Taoiseach Brian Cowan and Micheál Martin both sitting behind her. McAleese also grabbed hold of the idea of a theme for the presidency.
The late Carl O'Dolig, Ireland's fifth president, and dare I say it, one of three lawyers to grace the office, said at his inauguration in 1974, "Presidents under the Irish Constitution don't have policies, but a president can have a theme. The theme of my presidency, the eighth presidency, is building bridges. These bridges require no engineering skills, but they will demand patience, imagination, and courage. For Ireland's pace of change is now bewilderingly fast. We grow more complex by the day. Our dancers, singers, writers, poets, musicians, sportsmen and women, our businessmen, businesswomen, indeed our last president herself, are giants on the world stage. Our technologically skilled young people are in demand everywhere. There is an invigorating sense of purpose about us. There are those who absorb the rush of newness with delight. There are those who are more cautious, even fearful. Such tensions are part of our creative genius. They form the energy which gives us our unique identity, our particularity. And I want to point the way to a reconciliation of these many tensions and to see Ireland grow ever more comfortable and at ease with the flowering diversity that is now all around us."
Now, in her speech this week, Catherine Connolly talked about a president being of their time. Robinson with the political uncertainty of the early 90s, McAleese around the Good Friday Agreement, and Michael T. Higgins picking up in the midst of the worst financial crash in our history. So it's perhaps natural that he used large parts of his 2011 speech to talk about young people and the troubles that they were facing.
"As your president, I am grateful for the extent of the support, the strong mandate you have given me. I also realise the challenges that I face and that we face together in closing a chapter that has left us fragile as an economy, but most of all, wounded as a society, with unacceptable levels of unemployment, mortgage insecurity, collapsing property values, and most of all, many broken expectations. During my campaign for the presidency, I encountered that pain, particularly among the most vulnerable of our people. However, I also recognize the will of all of our people to move beyond anger, frustration, or cynicism, and to draw on our shared strengths, to close the chapter on that which has failed, that which has not been the best version of ourselves as a people, and open a new chapter based on a different version of our Irishness. It will require a transition in our political thinking, in our view of the public world, in our institutions, and most difficult of all, perhaps, in our consciousness."
So then, et tu, Catherine Connolly, the 10th President of Ireland. She spoke in her inauguration speech about many of the themes of her campaign: neutrality, a united Ireland, the left being on the rise or achieving high office against expectations. But one passage I enjoyed in particular, maybe not the standout for a lot of people, but I think it kind of summed her up well. A nod to many people across the country who have the kind of keep the head down and plough on and get through in difficult times mentality.
"I hope over the next 7 years that there will be many opportunities for me to celebrate with them and share our experiences. I have never believed more in the spirit of this country. Having travelled the length and breadth of the island, I have witnessed it in every county, in every corner of Ireland. I've heard it in the music, the literature, and the dance of our people. In the deep tradition of solidarity and decency that continues to be the dominant force behind our people. I have felt it in the quiet dignity and stoicism of those who simply keep going despite the very real challenges that they face.
And her last line, well, that maybe summed up best what kind of president she will be.
I believe that the president should be a unifying president. A steady hand, yes, but also a catalyst for change, reflecting our desire for a republic that lives up to its name. I will embrace the role of the president with dignity, determination, and courage.
Pat Kenny this week with his scientific brain on said a catalyst is something that acts on and has an impact on other things without changing itself. And really, doesn't that just sum up Catherine Connolly rather well? Thanks for listening to Let Me Explain. Chat to you next week.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.